Hello, and welcome to the For My King, His Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Dean Thornton. Today, we have a real treat for you listeners today. We have two-time Olympic triple jump gold medalist, four-time world champion, and seven-time Diamond League winner, Christian Taylor, on the show with us today. Christian, I want to thank you for coming on the show here with us today, and it was a pleasure getting a chance to meet you this past weekend at the Road to Paris Sports Banquet.
Dean, I appreciate that. Thank you for your time. It's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm glad we get the opportunity to now just chop it up together.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was surprised how tall you were when we met. But yeah, I'm so thankful that you were so gracious for being interested and wanting to come on.
Absolutely. I think it's really important what we're going to talk about today, and I'm hoping some people can be encouraged and inspired and motivated to take on whatever they're facing in their own lives.
Absolutely. I'm excited for our listeners to get to know you and your journey. So how about we jump right in?
Let's do it.
Growing up in Fayetteville, Georgia, did you come from a big family?
So actually, it's just my sister and I. And with that, she's my younger sister. And so for me, my parents always instilled the principle or the fact that I actually needed to be the role model. I needed to set the example and set the precedence that I would expect or anticipate that my sister would follow. With this, you know, there was some added pressure at a very young age that, you know, I always had to be on my best behavior and I always had to think twice before I said something. It ended up being a blessing in disguise later on. But, you know, when you feel that you can't also just be free or be wild or, you know, because you know that somebody is watching, you know, it does make you a better person, but also it sometimes limits you, you know. But in like time, I realized that I had the opportunity to help her be the best version of herself. I had the opportunity to also, if I was striving for excellence, if I had my mindset and if I was chasing gold or to be the best, you know, that would also push her to have that same mindset. And so I'm grateful for it now. And I believe that it's hopefully something that can, you know, help her reach her goals in life. And also that she can steward this. And, you know, one day we'll both be parents and pass it on to our kids.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have two older brothers myself. And it's great to be able to have them growing up as being protectors, but also being able to challenge each other growing up. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
When did you first become a Christian and did your parents play a part in it?
Oh, for sure. So I would say I grew up in the church. You know, it was something that I attended. I participated in that. You know, I went to youth group conferences and I was in the band. I played the trombone. So, you know, I was in the church band. So church was always a staple in my life. You know, we went Wednesday to youth church and Sundays, youth in adult church. And, you know, so it's like we did all the activities around there. But for me, this was also now what I've discovered, not a Christian relationship, that wasn't my faith journey. It was just something that I did because my parents told me to. And it was actually at 22 when I was baptized and received Christ for myself. So I was baptized in the church when I was much younger, but it was not my decision. It was kind of like, hey, you're at that age, you know, do you accept Jesus? I'll do it. Right. But at 22, it was the true conviction. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just that's when my heart changed, my mind changed. And then everything, you know, from that point on was just like, okay, how can I strive to be the best person? How can I strive to make a difference and impact in people's lives and also, you know, help them change their lives and for the better? And so, yeah, church has been a part of my life, but I would say at 22, this is when I made the declaration or decision for myself.
That's awesome. Yeah. And being able to decide for yourself to make that commitment of faith when you were older, that's really big. And I did the same thing. And yeah, it's really important to be able to separate, okay, I'm doing this for my parents, and then I'm also doing this for myself. So that's really good.
Exactly.
When did you know that track was the sport for you, and specifically the long jump and triple jump?
Yeah, so I grew up almost typical all-American childhood, right? I played baseball, golf, soccer, tennis, basketball. Like, I did everything. You know, my parents basically said, don't knock it till you try it. Give it a chance and find out where your strengths and weaknesses are. And with that, it was just trial and error, really. You know, I tried cross country and discovered that I'm not a distance runner. You know, I tried the short sprints and found out that I'm not a, you know, a sprinter. And so it was really just process of elimination that I fell into, you know, the jumps and the 400, which then when you're successful at anything, you gravitate towards that. And so I think with that, as you know, people said, how did you get into the triple jump? Honestly, it was I was the only one that was scoring or even making it into the sand pit when really? I first started, right? And so the coach was like, there we go, guaranteed points. You're doing the triple jump, right? It was not like this passion and something that I was seeking. It was like, hey, I can do this. I was tall. I was lanky. I was fast. I could put things together and I made it into the pit. But then the passion grew as I was successful in middle school, then got into high school. It was like, there's something there. Now let me take the time to investigate that. Let me take the time to watch film, to study the, at that time, VHS tapes and you know, to get to know what the event is all about. And you know, here I am now.
That's awesome. You excelled at it rather quickly with getting under 18 and under 20 world titles. Did you think at that point that you could possibly make a future career out of it?
Absolutely not. So that was the confirmation that I should stick with it. I knew I was going to be good enough to get into college, but to be an Olympian one day, to be an Olympic champion one day, yeah, this was very far, right? This was a hope and a dream. Of course, this was what I was striving for, and it would have been amazing to be an Olympian, but to be honest, at 16, 17, being on my World Youth World Junior team, there was no point that I would say, wow, that was great that I won on an international stage. I didn't know how this bridge, I didn't know how I was going to get to the Olympic stage 4 years later, you know? And so, you know, I think that's, for me, just a testimony or an illustration of the importance of patience. And this is something that, you know, when I speak to younger athletes now, social media, everyone's saying, how do I get here? How do I get to be a professional athlete? How do I get to be? And I said, hey, you're 13, you're 14. Enjoy being a kid, right? Like your time is going to come, your season's going to come. But right now, like, it's not about perfecting everything. It's about discovering who you are. Your body is changing daily at this point, right? So it's like figuring out how to walk, how to run, like body awareness. These things are so important because then in the long term, you can develop these things. But I see a lot of time with these specialized athletes that go so hard so early, they burn out when they do get their chance to be a professional or do get that chance to make that team. And then their careers are so short because they were doing it at such a high level so early, right? And so I just say, hey, go play, go climb a tree, go, you know, play with your friends. And then like, just be patient because your time will come.
Right. Now you went to the University of Florida and immediately started to make an impact with winning triple jump gold at the NCAA indoor championship and won both the indoor and outdoor titles in 2010, USA track and field outdoor championships in 2011. How did that whirlwind of success in your college career feel for you during that time and for your confidence?
Yeah, it was amazing. And as I said, with success, it does breed confidence, right? So you start to believe in your ability a bit more. You start to believe in your training, believe in your environment. You know, and so I saw that God was really working in the background, but also like I saw it come to fruition, right? And so success came very quickly for me and I was very young, right? And I would say that every time that I started feeling myself, God would somehow humble me in some way and remind me, hey, I'm doing this through you, right? Like, this is not what you have done that has gotten you to the stage, but like, I've got something bigger for you. And so I was just very grateful to have the right people around me that when I started getting to my head that they would say, hey, remember, right? Remember what this is all about. Remember what you're doing this for. You know, and my parents would say, remember that your sister's watching. Right. And so that was something that always brought me back, that it was like, hey, like how I compete, how I win and how I lose, this is going to be basically what my sister is watching and seeing how she needs to carry herself. Right. And so I just said, you know what, like humble myself, calm down a little bit. It doesn't mean that my confidence has to go down, but how I'm showing my confidence. Right. And how I'm competing and how I'm winning and losing with grace. You know, these are the things that I just started to really challenged myself with. But then, you know, at the 2011 US Championships, when I started to put those big performances out there and compete with now the best in the US, it started to plant the seed that maybe there could be something there. Maybe I am good enough to be a professional athlete. Maybe I am good enough to be a global medalist, you know, and that was really the stepping stone where it was like, there's something there. I don't want to put the cart before the horse and say that I'm the man, I'm ready. But that was the point where it was like, I'm now competing with the best in America, which is extremely strong country, extremely big country. And if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere.
That's awesome. Now you win another world championships in 2011 in Daegu, South Korea. And then you prepare for the Olympic trials that next year. You try and make the Olympic team in both the long jump and triple, but end up just making it in the triple. What was going through your mind knowing that you just made your first Olympic team and you were going to London?
Yeah, so the pressure I had on my shoulders, you know, I'm the reigning world champion, so I'm ranked number one in the world. You know, I was collegiate champion, so it was like all eyes were on me. The target was on my back, and how could I not make this team, right? And so the problem is everyone from the outside would have thought, he won worlds, like this is his to win. For me, Olympics are so different than any other competition that I was like, I just have to make this team because I would be the biggest joker if one year later I can't not even defend a title. Like I can't even make the team, you know? And so it was like, I had so much pressure on my shoulders, but then making that team, it was like, now that was the hardest part. After that, I was like, the work is done. Mm-hmm. God, do your thing. Show up. Like I know you can. And no, it was incredible, but the pressure was tremendously high.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Now in 2013, you start to battle patella tendonitis in your left leg, which started to hurt your performances. How did you come to the decision to make the switch jumping off your right? Was there any hesitation at all?
Absolutely. So again, like now I'm reigning world champion, reigning Olympic champion. Mm-hmm. Now at 23, like I'm living my best life, right? Like I've reached my career goals in 2 years, right? Wow. It's just like, wow, like, man, look at God, like talking about expediting, right? Like it was just like he came through and I was just like, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is all you could pray for. To then, as I told you, with everything, God has an incredible way. I always say he has a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. He has an incredible way of humbling us. And I got to the mountaintop and I think honestly, maybe I just started feeling myself a bit too much. And God was like, all right, like, here's a reminder. So the tendonitis just got to a point where I couldn't even train, right? Like, and if I did jump, I was taking 2-3 days of not even training, of just recovery, because my knee was just, it was so stiff and so swollen and it was just so much pain associated with training. And I was like, there's no way I can compete. So it got to a point where I would just visit the doctors and they would say, either your career is about to be over or you jump from the other foot. Which, yeah, good luck with that, right? Like, basically, you learn how to jump again. Right. And I thought, now I've been jumping for 12, 13 years one way. I've been doing something one way, and I finally make the top. I'm number one in the world. And you're looking at me and telling me I have to start over?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And this is when, again, right? Like, now I'm a new believer. So I just got baptized. I'm, you know, and as a young believer, I was like, why, God? Like, why would you do this to me? You brought me so far. Why would you do this just to literally take it all away? And now as a mature Christian, like, man, what a blessing this was in disguise. Right? But when you're going through it, when you were young, when you're a young believer, right? If things are going right, you're like, God's got me. God's shining. And when things are going wrong, it's like, why have you forsaken me? Right? Like, you know, and that was something that I had to mature into and realize it's like, not why. Like, I shouldn't have been asking why. I should be asking, like, what are you planning on doing with this? Right. And so that became just such a cool faith journey for me. Challenging by all means. It was not easy, and it was not easy to speak to my sponsors like, hey, the next few years are gonna be rough, but I believe I can get back to the top, though I'm starting all over. You know, it just became such an important part of my testimony, and you know, just an opportunity that I can say, even if you're at the top and you're slapped off and you have to start over, like if you're willing to get back on the horse, if you're willing to stand back up, if you're willing to interest the people around you that helped you get there before, you can do it again. With God, anything is possible. And again, that's another shout out to my support system, because the same people that helped me get there, same people that were celebrating with me, were the same people that when I was down, they were like, hey, we started here with you. There's no reason we can't get back up there with you again. You know, right. And that was the strength. That was the encouragement I needed to get back up. But it was on their strength that pulled me back up, because I was like, what just happened?
Wow. Now, switching like that, is it comparable to, let's say, baseball, like switching to the other, hitting from the other side? Of the
exactly. Plate? Exactly. So it'd be like baseball players switching position. For really like to put it every day, it would basically be exactly the same as if you had to write with the other hand, but make it look just as if you're writing with your dominant hand, right? So Anybody that would take a pen and switch hands, it looks horrible. It looks horrible, right? It looks like not even a kid is doing this.
Right.
And I'm not asking you to literally print your name. I'm asking you to do it with cursive, with like dot your I's, cross your T's. Like it needs to look sharp, right? Like we're not just talking about just being able to execute. I was able to jump off the other leg, but I need to jump and excel. I need to get back to the top level. So yeah, for anyone listening, I would say if you do have a pen nearby, literally switch hands. Obviously, you're going to be questioning, how do I even hold this pen, right? Switch hands, try to write, and match it with your dominant. So it's like you have to change the entire way you think.
Right. Since you made the switch, now I've heard that being able to learn, having your brain learn something opposite like that can actually help brain strength going forward. Did you feel that once you switched that mentally, you grew stronger from it?
100%. Well, for me, Dean, how could I not now look at the mirror and say, if I can accomplish this, what can stop me?
Right.
Right. So it's not like I fell and I get back up and I do it again. No, I had to relearn. I had to start from scratch. I had to learn everything, how to shift my weight, how to get the timing, how to build confidence. And when you literally clean the slate and have to start from nothing, and you're able to get not even to equal, but you surpass what you've been doing. So let's say I started at the end of 2013. In 2015, I jumped the second furthest jump of all time.
Right.
I become world champion. Right. So it's like I've now surpassed it took 12 years. I did in just under two. That flower, that thing of confidence exploded in me, because I thought, now what can I not face? What can I not face in life? Not even a sport. Right. But I'm like, if a challenge comes, let's go. I'm attacking this with confidence because I know what I've overcome. Right. And this is the thing, again, I like to talk to people like, you guys, you haven't made it here by accident. You have dealt with adversity. You've had to persevere. You have had to rewrite your story. You have had to push through when people said you can't do something, but you've made it here. That was not by accident.
Yes, absolutely. Christian, I want to thank you for coming on the show with us today. It's been a pleasure getting a chance to know you and hearing about your incredible journey. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with Christian. And until next time on For My King, His Kingdom, this is your host, Dean Thornton, signing off.